It's time for the Outdoor Show with Craig Campo on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Also streaming live at KFARradio.com. Sponsored by the Campo Family, helping Alaskans having fun in the outdoors since the 1940s. And now your host, Craig Campo.
Fairbanks, why am I not hearing myself? Can you hear me?
I hear you.
I can't hear myself. Hang on a second.
Wait a second. I'm not.
Stupid equipment. Oh, come on. Oh, what is wrong with this?
How about
thing?
This? Can you hear me?
Test. There we go. Okay, I'm here. Okay. I didn't swear, did I? Did I swear? All right. I just didn't have the volume up high enough. All right. This is Craig with the Outdoor Show. Craig Campo, recently retired. We talk about that a little bit, but still like to get out and have fun a little bit, even though my aging body doesn't respond as well as it did when I was 22 or 32 or 42 or even 52 or 62. Yeah. My guest today, my good friend Eric Spitzer, Captain Eric Spitzer with the Alaska State Troopers. Welcome, buddy.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Good to be here.
All right. So we're going to talk about a little adventure we did last week up on the Steese on snow machines. But I always like to get a trooper report and find out what's new, what's going on. Had you on just a week ago, and I know there's probably been new stuff happen. I mean, crime never takes a break. You always say business is good. So how good is business?
Business is, are you hearing me in this?
Yeah. Turn your volume up a little bit there, maybe on there. I don't know. Can you hear it?
How about that?
Yeah, that's good. Just keep it close, yeah.
All right. Well, what's been going on is the investigation has continued on that $500 million gold mine investigation that we were doing up there.
This is the guy Esther area.
In the Esther area. So there was initially like 13 guns recovered, and then there was another 5 guns recovered, and we recovered another 5 guns.
Wow.
A bunch of gold. Last time I checked, we were somewhere around the 15 to 20 search warrants. Additional people have been identified who have been involved in this.
Wow. Is this like a ring maybe?
No, I think what it is, it's just folks got, I think some people got duped into it.
Okay.
Like they were like, when you say, how do you get duped into a burglary? Well, they didn't actually do the burglary part, but what they did was they took the gold into the gold dealer.
Oh, like post-burglary stuff.
Yeah. So it was like, hey, I'll pay you $1,000 to take $20,000 worth of gold in, sell it.
Oh, yeah, get their little commission.
Get the check, and then give me the money, and I'll pay you $1,000 for your effort.
Yeah, wow.
So whether they were actively knew it was stolen.
We're still looking for the ringleader or leaders?
We know who it is, but still at large. Know who he is.
That's got to be, you know, when you're in that position and you know everybody's looking for you
and you know you're not going to get on a plane,
yeah.
You're not going to cross the Canadian border, you're not going to get on the Alaska Marine Ferry, you're not going
to... Any chance that, I mean, how does that work in your line of work? Okay, so you know this, I don't know how long after, and maybe you can't say some of this stuff, but how long after the... actually report of the theft, were you able to identify who it is? And would the person, I mean, if they're going through the border, could they just get the heck out of here? But they weren't. They were obviously trying to peddle the stuff in town. Yeah. So they're arrogant enough to think their stuff doesn't stink.
Yeah. And the interesting thing about that is if you look this guy up, his name is Benjamin Cross. If you look him up, he was involved in multiple capers out of state in, I believe, New Jersey and Florida. Broke into places. I mean, this is like all open source stuff. You can look it up. I mean,
but the justice system keeps letting him go? Or he just never...
No, he served time.
Okay.
Got out of jail.
Apparently not enough.
This guy had broken into a bunch... Him and his brother broke into a bunch of cabins on the Yentna River back in like 2009, 2010-ish. I kind of remember it. I was stationed down in Anchorage at the time when it happened. The reason why I remember is because we used to do a lot of bear baiting in the springtime up the Yentna River. And he broke into like 25 cabins up the up in Squintna.
Wow.
And they just break in. They stole a bunch of guns. And then they had like a safari shooting club. They would go into these cabins and it would be like doll sheep and, you know, bear rugs and bear heads and deer and stuff like that. And they would shot the heck out of all the taxidermy things in the house, stole the gun, shot up the ammo, made a bunch of holes in the roof. And can you imagine coming finding your cabin all shot up like that?
Yeah, that's, you know, and that's the, yeah, rip, if you rip me off, just don't tear my stuff. I remember a story of a guy, a gold miner in Delta, beautiful log cabin, wood floor, everything. They came in and stole some, he had gold hidden in his place somewhere.
Yeah.
But he had a monitor heater, and they took the monitor heater, and they just cut the copper line and let 200 gallons of diesel run all over this beautiful floor.
Oh, man.
He was pissed about the theft, obviously, but he was just sick about who would do that. I mean.
Well, do you hear about the vandalism over at the trooper post?
No.
You didn't? Well, the other night. There's a big call up in Fox, and all the troopers went up that way. And while we were gone, someone broke into the trooper post.
Oh, my God.
And
that's
they stole all the toilets.
Oh, all the toilets?
Yeah. I wish we had, you know, some leads or suspects, but to be honest with you, we got nothing to go on.
Ba-dum-bum.
That's good. That's from the other. That's from last night.
Yeah, now we got nothing to go on.
Yeah, now we got nothing to go.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in the back half of the hour. A little comedy gig. Yeah, that is good, and you do, and you always have it. And it's got to that's got to be good with the troops too over there. You know, everybody is. You got to use some laughter because you guys are in a serious business, I imagine it can get in your head and depressing, and you got to be able to let it go. And laughter sometimes does that, right?
Yeah, yeah. In fact, I go to a therapist.
Uh-huh.
And it's so stressful that the therapist gave me a tool for dealing with this. He said, "If what you do is every time someone upsets you in your line of work, what you do is you sit down and then write them a letter. Okay, you write a letter, and then at the end you burn them. So I don't know what to do with all these letters now.
Well, don't start an arson fire."
You didn't get that one.
But I'm bummy. I don't know what to do with all these letters.
Yeah, see?
Okay, I missed it.
Come from all this comedy night
stuff. I know.
I got it. They're all in my frontal lobe. And you set me up, and I just can't. It's low-hanging fruit. No.
Yeah.
Seriously, though, there is a lot of there's a lot of stress in a career in law enforcement. And actually, there's always like this like hangman's humor that kind of goes on, and you try, it's a defense mechanism against, you know, trauma and all that, because they say that police officers in like a 25-year career will see more gruesome, traumatic scenes than most, you know, combat veterans have in war.
Yeah.
And
horrible traffic accidents.
Oh, and yeah. And then what happens is like you go right from like seeing like a dead child. Then you go to the next call for a burglary, and then the woman's at that call and just screaming in your face, like, what took you so long to get here and all that? And you're not even done processing the last thing you dealt with.
Not an easy job,
Well, here's what I learned is that when I was down, I went to the FBI National Academy, and I did some research on this, got interested in it, and laughter therapy in a way, this is no joke, I mean, seriously, it's a thing. Laughter therapy is a way to deal with stress. Because what happens is you deal with, you know, stress at work, like, you know, you're white knuckling it to this call, and you get there and there's like guns involved and like, you know, is someone going to shoot at me or what? And your body releases this adrenaline. Adrenaline, when it's not utilized for fight or flight, turns into cortisol. Cortisol is a big time killer of testosterone. Mm. You get fat from it.
That explains Satterberg. No.
Well, anyway, when you introduce comedy to it, it feeds when you laugh, when you have a good belly laugh. I've been talking about an honest one, not a made up one or just like ha ha ha, but a good belly laugh where you got tears in your eyes and you're slapping the table and, you know, joking with your friends and stuff. It releases stress killing like endorphins and hormones. You feel good when you're done going to see a comedy show.
Yeah.
And what it does is if you can joke around a little bit in law enforcement at the appropriate time, after, you know, everything's done, it's a stress release therapy.
Well, and since we're talking about this, I think what we're gonna split the show up a little bit. But we did have a comedy show Wednesday night at Ivory Jack's. Benny Lynn is the new owner. We're going to talk about that the rest of the first half, and then we'll go into our Snow Machine adventure in the second half. But so we just decided, Benny and a partner bought Ivory Jack's. Benny Lynn, who owns Pagoda and the Pump House, co-owner and Pump House and some others, just a really, really good guy, funny guy, but not a stand-up comedian per se, although he may have got a new career now. But, you know, Benny was, he's obviously a little shy about his language. He doesn't have the, you know, he's not, I think he's real fluent in English, but he still feels nervous about it. You know, he knew no English when he came over here in the 80s or whatever. But anyway, so we had Captain Spitzer, myself, Bernie Carl, Bill Satterberg, all good friends of Benny's, kind of as a thank, as a congratulation and a thank you for taking over and buying the Ivory Jacks. We put on a performance. I'm gonna tell you, it went super, super great, super well. Man. Place was packed, but we don't know because we're pre-recording this show. But if it did go as good as I think it's going to go or went, we have a website now. And the name of this show, I'm going to let you tell us, because Eric Spitzer and I went back and forth. We had Schlitz and Giggles. We had the Chuckle Bucket. We had Giggle Stick. We bounced all these names, but we got to call it something to be able to promote it. And Bill Satterberg actually came up with the name just out of the blue, which surprised me because Bill. But anyway, and it's kind of in honor of Benny Lynn, and it's called
Laugh You Long Time.
Laugh You Long Time. That was a little play on Love classic. You Long Time. So anyway, yeah, it's a great name. And anyway, so we decided let's just get the website. I said, I bet the website's available for $12 or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's laughyoulongtime.com, and we are putting it may be on by now. This is 3 days after the event. But we are putting the videos. We recorded this event. Now, I want to warn you, listeners, because a lot of you are old and can be easily offended. So if you're easily offended by stand-up comedy, yeah, I might not want to watch it, or you know, make sure the kids aren't in the room. It's not. Well, it depends on what your level of offensive is, but
yeah, you may want to fast forward past the Bernie Carl part.
Yeah. And we haven't even seen that yet.
But I know he's uncontrollable.
We have no idea. Vinny could have stole the show, or he could have bombed. We don't know. We told him, people, don't bring tomatoes to this show, because we're not professional comedians. I know, yeah. but we enjoy good humor, and this was a gift, really. And again, here's the deal: no admission, so. No refunds. You can't get your money back. And the bonus?
$1 parking.
Yeah, $1 parking. Yeah. Our poster had a picture of Benny Lynn with it says, effective immediately, $1 parking.
Cause, a little spoof.
Yeah, a little spoof. There's no parking charge at Ivory Jack's. But
you get a complete money back guarantee, though, if you're not completely satisfied.
Yeah, that's right. 100% money back guarantee. Double your money back.
Yeah.
Double your money back.
Yeah.
We just don't pay for shipping or whatever that means. Anyway, so anyway, we're going to try and do this. We'll see either the last Wednesday of every month, or maybe every other month. We don't know. We got to see, you know, it takes a little while to get material, but there's like four or five of us. We're each going to do 10 minutes. And then we've got the grand finale, which, I can only tell you, I know went really well because we did it at Benny's Roast, and it's Benny Lynn on the stage for 15 or 20 minutes with a surprise guest. And it is absolutely hilarious. And, you know, it's almost, I don't even want to give it away.
It's worth going to it just for that
gig. Yes.
Just for that one gig.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And we're hoping he didn't blow the last joke. We'll see how it went. But Benny gets up there. He's a little bit, or first time we did this, he didn't want to do it. This was, we roasted him about 5 years ago. Well, those of you who were there, you know how funny it was. It was over at Fountainhead, and we went. We roasted Benny, and of course you roast the roasters and all that. And the absolute funniest part was the end of it when Benny Lynn got up on the stage. He did not want to be roasted initially because he doesn't like being in public, speaking in public. He's a little nervous on that.
Yeah.
And when we got him up there, the audience was in tears the whole time. I mean, it was really, really funny what happened, but I'm not going to give it away. But you can go to laughyoulongtime.com. And we've also got on there, in fact, I'm not sure if the Wednesday night will be on there by the time Saturday rolls around. We were trying to get it on quick, but you can go on there and you can see some previous spoofs and practical jokes. And like both Eric and myself and Bill Satterberg were all on Dark Winter Nights. Those episodes are on there. We're going to put some other really funny stuff, like the time we pranked Bill telling him he had COVID. And that it was, oh my gosh, Kimmy Van Wy did that. She pretended to be an infectious disease specialist out of Providence and told him he had this really rare version of COVID where they only see it in a few mink farms in Denmark. and Satterberg's on the other line, and really, that aggressive. And he's sitting down. He's nervous. His wife is sitting with him, and they're on the other end of the line, and we're in Van Wy's garage over there just trying all we can do not to laugh, so he gave it away. But anyway, those kinds of things we're going to do. Anyway, we're running a little over our halfway break, so we're going to go to the break. We'll be right back.
The Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio will return right after this.
For more than 75 years, the go-to outdoor business in Fairbanks has been Compos. Bob Compos Sr. first opened the doors on 12th and Cushman in 1945. A lot has changed since then, but one thing hasn't changed. Compos' passion for getting you outdoors and away from the rat race. And their business philosophy can be wrapped up in a few words Bob Sr. used to say. And that's, treat people right and they'll tell a few others. Treat them poorly, and they'll tell a few dozen. Compo, on Boat Street, doing business in Fairbanks since Harry Truman was president.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah. Sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon, Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Explore Fairbanks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. And now, back to the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio.
All right, this is Craig with the Outdoor Show with Captain Spitzer. Enough funny stuff, right? So actually, what's coming up next is a little funny, too. So last Sunday, last-minute decision, kind of decided to go caribou hunting out on the Stees. I've been in Mexico for a month and a half. I have a snow machine, a super wide track 900. Didn't even have my hitch kit on it. Didn't have any of my supplies ready, and I just said, yeah, let's go. I know Spitzer will have all the stuff we need, and thank God you did. So it's always good to go with a guy with a cargo box full of necessities. But, yeah, that was a fun trip, really, even though we didn't get any caribou. We saw, I don't know, 20 of them up
on
the hill.
At least 20, yeah.
So the issues are always Mother Nature has a way of making your life difficult when you're trying to put meat in the freezer. Sometimes you go and they just show up like moose hunting or whatever. Sometimes you don't see one, but in this case we had two situations. We had 3 feet of sugar snow,
yeah,
and we had trees that were in the way. As you got closer to the caribou, you could get up the hill 3/4 of the way. The bald spot up on top where the caribou were, they were just looking at us like, yeah, they're never going to get to us. And we didn't. But
those black spruce, man, yeah, they are so close together. And the thing is, if it was, I think that if it, like the snow was set up or wind blown, like hard wind blown, I think that we could have negotiated through those trees.
Because you can stop and sneak through it. Right. When you're going balls to the wall through deep powder and you're going uphill and you're at the mercy. Yeah, if you turn out, you're coming down the hill.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have that exit
option.
Lane. No, you don't. You've got to just maneuver like it reminds me of a pinball, right?
Yeah.
You're just bouncing off of stuff. I forgot I had the handholds on the back of my Expedition, and I got too close to about a 4-inch spruce, and it just stopped the machine, and I went over, and I heard my knee pop, and been a little sore ever since. I've been taking some anti-inflammatories. But anyway, yeah. I'm not 22 anymore, I realize. But I tell the funny story about, when you're out all day on an excursion. First of all, let's back up. After we couldn't get to the caribou up top, we said, well, let's head down to the creek and let's go around the corner and see if we can look up. And
yeah.
So we did that.
Oh, yeah. So we're going through and, the caribou, the trail down there, they had really beaten down. I mean, they had really been in and out of that area.
Yeah.
And these caribou tracks, are you talking about going across that where it was iced up?
Yeah,
there?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we all know what overflow looks like, and hey, avoid the overflow. But in this one little spot that we were like going to just shoot across, you could see the caribou tracks on the overflow.
On the
and
ice.
It's like, hey, if they're not punching through with those feet,
yeah.
I mean, I got a 20-inch wide track, you had a 24-inch wide track, and.
And they're like a fat gal in high heels, and you'd think they would have gone through, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking like, oh, we're good here. So we go across, and then, but you got jammed up in some overflow that was under the snow.
Yeah, I broke through, and then I just was able to crawl, and we got it pulled out back up on a hard ground.
Yeah.
And then you went to turn around with your Lynx Brutal.
Yeah, and I was going to shoot through this little spot and then come catch up with you. And what happened was the whole thing that I was on like broke through, and one of my skis went underneath the ice,
yep,
and then popped me off, and got wet.
Yeah,
and I gotta tell you, here's a little plug for those new bunny boots, man.
Yep.
I gotta tell you, those new bunny boots that they came out with,
the black. Yours are black, right?
Yeah, the black ones. Right. I guess they're made in China or something like that. But man, I was skeptical.
Yeah.
Of the new bunny boots.
Yeah,
I'm like, I'll try them, whatever. Yep. I put some wool, the little liners on the inside there, like the, what do you call that thing? The foot.
The insert.
Yeah. So put those in there. Man, I'm telling you what, that one leg got completely soaked. Had to invert my foot to drain the water out of the
boot. It was about zero or what was it?
It was 10 below.
10 below, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't tell you about it when it happened because I was like, I didn't want to bum anybody out.
Well, and I fell in overflow. I got my whole left arm wet.
And
you had extra gloves, which is great.
Oh, yeah. Always bring extra stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, we were out there. And boy, what a mess that was, because also the back of the track, like you couldn't. Well, first of all, you couldn't put it in reverse and reverse out because it was so deep where the skis went through that the clutch got wet.
Yeah.
We all know what that's like.
The belt gets wet, it spins.
Yeah, it just spins. I mean, that's it. So you got to get this thing out with just raw manpower.
Yeah. And it's got 800 pounds of ice in the suspension.
Oh, man.
It's just frozen, doesn't want to move forwards, backwards. It can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we brought along one of those rope come along. And I got to tell you, that's the second time that saved my bacon with snow machines. And it's helped me with jet boats a couple times as well.
Yeah.
I really recommend it. And folks always make fun of me because like, oh, what do you got your giant Action Packer Toad on the back of there, you know?
Yeah.
And
Grandpa, what are you doing, Grandpa Spitzer?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, and you know what? Thinking about this, the only thing that I think I would have done differently if we could do this over was I should have taken the saw over to some of those spruce trees, cut down a couple pecker poles, ratchet strapped them together at the top like a triangle, and then used it as a gin pole when we were
winching it back.
And we were winching it back rather than pulling it straight back.
Yeah, see, we were tied off to my machine. We kind of made my big machine an anchor.
Yeah.
And then I'd sit on the machine. I was working the come along as you were bouncing on the runner board to try and break it loose, which worked.
Yeah.
But you're pulling straight into that ice bank and not up and over. So, yeah, if you had a way to get it up and over a little bit, just to get, then it would have come out a little easier.
Kind of use it like a gin pole, you know what I mean? It would lift up and in. So.
And you had the saws to make the stuff.
Oh,
the bust
trees.
Because we had to cut a bunch of brush out of there. And I mentioned before, you know, one thing I always do when you're going into an unknown area, I'm usually on my 24-inch super wide, which lays like a highway down. But when you're in 3 feet of powder, the person in front of you, you know, you're weaving left and right, and sometimes it's just the terrain is kind of pushing you one way, and so it's not a flat trail. So I try and make that trail you made into a wider trail, like a wide trail, and then also by the time you come out of there, it's set up a little bit. And the reason I've always done that is for what happened to us today. Now it would have been really easy for us to have to leave one machine there. If something happened, the machine wouldn't run. We couldn't get it out of the ice.
Yeah.
Then you got to come back two people on one sled. Mm-hmm. And if you're sitting there snaking through those zigzags in the powder, it's very difficult. You're going to be tipping the machine or whatever else. This way you have a bit of a trail. So you try and think that way when you're going in, have one of the machines that isn't leading, try and widen that trail.
Yeah. You made it like, it was like a high, when we were coming out, I thought to myself, wow, because I could see what you were doing. You kind of like, you didn't ride in the track that I made to cut trail.
Yep.
You rode like off to the side of it and straightened all the curves.
Right. And when you wound up having, whether gravity or whatever took you way over to the right, I'd cut that and make it flatter. So anyway, just little things like that. But what Captain Spitzer did that's really smart is he had the saw, he had the rope come along, he had extra gear. I know you probably had a inReach or something in there.
Well, yeah, we had a GPS and inReach.
Yeah. So those kinds of things are just smart because I've said it so many times in Alaska, and it should be the slogan of the show. Bad things happen fast in Alaska. You know, we're not in Kansas and worrying about a little bit of wind or sand blowing or whatever. This is like the real deal. So you can get in trouble fast. And here's the deal. And we both have been in situations like that. Panicking or getting all excited about it is the worst thing you can do. You just kind of keep your head on. You go, okay, well, here's what we got to do. You know, you're not that worried about daylight. We can deal with that a little bit. But temperatures at night, when that sun goes down, it drops really fast. I got a guy married on the hillside. We went helicopters to Iowa Ridge one year. My service manager, sales manager, Rodney Vesper, got married and wanted to get dropped up there. We dropped him. We took Rodney. He took Rodney and I first. Then he went back 70 miles to get the girls who were all dressed up, you know, ready to get married, my buddy and his. And literally, we were getting cold. The wind was blowing, nowhere to get out of it. We had a propane unit, a little tank. We had a tent, but there was nowhere up there to get out of the weather.
Yeah.
And so when he came back and he set the helicopter down, we did the ceremony real quick. We get back in the helicopter, wouldn't start. And it's getting, the sun's going down and you can feel it every minute getting colder.
Oh, yeah.
And he turned that thing over about 20 times and it wouldn't start. It was like flooded. And I'm thinking, you realize all of a sudden this could be dangerous, right?
Yeah.
It's getting dark. We're in the middle of nowhere. It's wind blowing hard. And so we're thinking, well, that was pretty stupid. But what I told him, being calm, I said, Mike, here's the deal. The only thing we haven't tried is not starting it. Let's look at our watch, give it 10 minutes of doing nothing.
Yeah.
And that was the longest 10 minutes, I'm telling you. But when he hit the key, it started.
Oof.
Just hit the switch, and I was like, let's get in this thing. Let's get the hell out of here. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, just, but I kind of sidebarred there, but it's kind of the whole thing. Things happen bad fast in Alaska, so you got
to
be prepared.
I used to teach wilderness survival at our academy. And what I would tell folks is, listen, when you leave to go do something, like even just hop in a helicopter to go over to Healy to do a search and rescue or whatever, when you get in that helicopter, whatever you're taking with you, don't rely on them to have emergency gear.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we have it, but like you got to get in that helicopter with the understanding that whatever you're bringing to the game is what you're going to have when the, you know what, hits the oscillator.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's right. Yeah.
And how comfortable do you want to be while you're waiting for that rescue to come?
Yeah.
Then the next thing is I wanted to say is like take, you know, whatever, what's your life worth to you? And whatever that is, take that money and use it to buy a GPS with an inReach, a sat phone, or have some, you know, we want to, the Alaska State Troopers, we don't necessarily want to do search and rescues. We would just rather do rescues. Like, we pull up with a helicopter, hop in.
Yeah.
We don't have to hunt for
you.
We know where you're at. You could tell
good
us
point.
Where you're at.
Really good point.
Yeah, leave a good trip plan, too.
All right. Well, that's kind of our show today. We covered our Laugh You Long Time. Remember, laughyoulongtime.com. You can go there if you're offended by stand-up comedy and some stuff. Probably don't go there, but other than that, it's fun. We're just all making people laugh, trying to have a good time. And then we talked about our fun little snow machine adventure, and we're both still alive, so that's good.
Yeah, no care.
Real quick, the funniest part, you were so beat up and tired, both of us were, that your phone didn't recognize your face. You had to use your keypad.
You
look like Foster Brooks. Okay.
Inflamed.
Yeah. All right, this is Craig with The Outdoor Show. We'll see you next Saturday.
You have been listening to The Outdoor Show with Craig Campo on KFAR Radio, streaming live at kfarradio.com. To listen back to this program or any past episodes, simply click on The Outdoor Show in the Archives tab on the website.